thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
All right, so our sermon series is staying in the Psalms all year. So we're pretty much in the Psalms all year. Last week, we looked at Psalm 23, and I abruptly ended it after verse 3. And I came home, and my wife reminded me that, and I forgot to say there's part 2 coming this week. So we have a part 2 today. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 23. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 23. And if you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's holy word. I'll read the entire psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, I'm so used to the old way. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you for this beloved psalm. And we thank you for how you show yourself in this beautiful psalm, O God. As we continue to look at Psalm 23 this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to us, transform us, help us to see your face, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I always want to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? That's just how I know that verse, but the NIV is a little bit different. But what does it mean to walk through the valley of the shadow of death? What does that represent? Well, it represents fear. Fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. You've probably heard that many times in the church. But the valley represents uncertainty, suffering, death, or danger. And so as I was preparing the sermon, I thought it would be interesting to find out what are the top 10 fears of 2025. So this was put together at the beginning of the year. Now it's June 1st today, so there's a lot of change that already happened, but this was what they thought the top 10 fear of this year would be. And maybe you would agree to some of these, but here are the top 10 fears of 2025. Number one, corrupt officials. I just saw somebody nod their heads. Number two, loved ones becoming ill. Number three, cyber terrorism. Number four, loved ones dying. Number five, Russia using nuclear weapons. Number six, not having enough money. I think that's number one on some of us, right? Number seven, U.S. becoming involved in another world war. Number eight, North Korea using nuclear weapons. Number nine, terrorist attacks. And number 10, biological warfare. So here are the top 10 fears that they had predicted in the beginning of 2025. So this valley of the shadow of death, I said earlier, it represents uncertainty, darkness, suffering, death, danger. And that's also the context of our verse in Psalm 23. But really the true fear is it's deeper than our circumstances, isn't it? It's fear comes from the perceived absence of safety, control, or even presence. So why do we fear? Why do we fear? Where some say, We fear because we believe we are alone, we are unprotected, or we are powerless. We are afraid because we are not in control of the situation. We are powerless. So the cause of fear can be isolation and vulnerability. So let's take a look at our psalm. And here's just a recap from last week, Psalm 23, 1 through 3. You know, it's a psalm of David. David wrote this. Many think he wrote it looking back at his life. He was a shepherd, right? And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." So from the first three verses, David proclaims that the Lord is his shepherd, his personal shepherd. He proclaims and he declares that he lacks nothing because the Lord is his shepherd. And look at all what God does, right? He has to do nothing. God makes him lie down in green pastures. God leads him beside quiet waters. God refreshes his soul. God guides him along the right paths for God's name's sake. When you read this, and if the Lord is your shepherd, then it looks like your life is set. He does all the work. He does all the work. And do you get the sense of satisfaction here? Like you are satisfied? So if the Lord is your shepherd, then you'll have this sense of satisfaction. You'll be satisfied. I don't know, when I look myself in the mirror, I'm never satisfied. I just feel like it's not enough. I want more. I want better stuff. I want bigger stuff. And that really represents the heart of mankind, right? We want more. We want better stuff. But to say that the Lord is my shepherd means that we submit to him. We follow him. We trust in him. And we know that what he has for us is good and it's enough. We're satisfied. Amen? So is the Lord your shepherd? Because this is very important, because before we jump into verse 4, we have to establish the fact that the Lord is our shepherd. Because if God is not your shepherd, if you're not satisfied with God, then come verse 4, you're going to be in a hot mess. And what is verse 4? Well, verse 4 is, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley." Let's look at the King James. I like that better. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David is talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Proclaiming God is your shepherd, following God, trusting in God, doesn't mean that you will not walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It means you will not gonna live a life free of trouble. But that's what we want, right? Why do we have to walk through the valley? God, why can't you just make the whole world flat? There are no valleys, no peaks, no valleys, no shadows, no fear. If God is the good shepherd, like the Bible says he is, if God is the great shepherd, like the Bible says he is, if God is the chief shepherd, like the Bible says he is, then why on earth would the good shepherd lead us through a place of danger and death? That's a legitimate question, isn't it? Why would a good God, why would a great God, why would the good shepherd lead us Right? Verses 1 through 3 said, He leads us, He guides us. You know, I'm satisfied. So why would He lead us through a place of danger and death? Do you ever wonder about that? Well, one commentary says this, to get us to a better place. I really like that answer. So there's a reason why we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's a reason why we have to walk into darkness. And it's not to just keep us there, but it's to get us to a better place. And if the Lord is your shepherd, then you could hold on to this truth. And if the Lord is your shepherd and you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now, please know that God is leading you to get to a better place. Amen? That's what we need to remember. That's what I need to remember. Instead of just start complaining, why me? Why God? No. Can't you created light. Just create light right here. Just get rid of all the darkness around me. Let's get rid of all the evil around me. But no, He's leading you to a better place. And if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you know this to be true. Jesus Christ walked through the valley all alone so that you and I would not have to. That's what our Lord Jesus did, and that's who the Great Shepherd is. But notice this. It doesn't say, even though I walk into the darkest valley, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley. So we're walking through. So our final destination is not the valley of the shadow of death. That's not our destination. We need to remember that. We're walking through. Life is a journey. We're going to have peaks and valleys. We're going to have that mountaintop experience where we're ready to do anything for God. And then we go down into the valley of shadow of death and we don't want to do anything. And that there are going to be peaks and valleys when we follow God. But the one important thing we need to know, the one important thing that David wants us to know, the one important thing that the Bible wants us to know, that God wants us to know is what? Do not fear, because God is with us. God is with us. You are not walking through the valley alone. God's presence is what you need. God's presence is what you need to remember, that He is with you. And because He is with you, you will fear no evil. Amen? So how do you combat fear? Knowing that God is with you. If God wasn't with you, I don't know if there's anything we could do about our fears. And for some of us, we just need to be reminded that He is with us. Sometimes it doesn't feel like He's with us. But we need to know that He is with us. That's what it means to live by faith and not by sight. It doesn't really matter what we feel. The truth is, the Bible teaches us that God is with us. Not only is He with us, He protects us. How? With His rod and His staff. These are shepherd tools. The rod is used to combat those who are attacking the sheep. The staff is used to guide the sheep. There are many uses of rod and staff. And so if you are a sheep and your good shepherd has the proper tools, then you are comforted. That's what we need to remember, that His rod and His staff, it's not to punish us. It's to comfort us. It's to protect us. And that's who our shepherd is. He is with us. So even on your worst day of your life, if you're experiencing that, remember, God is with you. When you got that email with just bad news, remember, God is with you. No matter how dark the valley is, fear not, because God is with you. Amen? God is with us. And the only reason we're able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the only reason we could proclaim that God is with us, is because Jesus Christ walked through that valley of the shadow of death before us. But unlike God who is with us, he walked through that alone. So Jesus didn't just face danger when he walked into the valley of the shadow of death. He faced death. He died on the cross so that you and I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death with him, with the good shepherd. Amen? So that's what it means. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, that means you believe in Christ. You believe that Jesus walked through that valley alone. He died the death that we deserve, that you and I deserve. So that by believing in him and following in him and proclaiming that the Lord is my shepherd, we walk through the valley with Christ, knowing that he has his rod and he has his staff to comfort us. So we need to remember that God is with us. Amen? He is with you. In Isaiah 41:10, he says this, "Fear not, for I am with you." Right? So even in the Old Testament, he's saying, "I am with you, fear not." So if God is with you, there's nothing to be afraid of. We could live victorious lives because God is with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Yes. So God is with us. May that comfort you. I remember when I was younger, we had to take care of my cousin's children, and they lived in a big house, you know. So, and when you're a kid, even a small house looks big. So imagine living in a big house and you're a kid. So they lived in this big house and they had this great basement. And I remember the kids would always play, but they never want to go down alone, right? That the basement represented the valley of the shadow of death, right? And they don't even need God with them. So I remember the older kid would ask his baby sister, "Hey, would you go down to the basement with me?" So even having a little baby sister go down to the basement was enough, right? He overcame his fear with his baby sister. But imagine the creator of the universe is with you when you're going down to the valley of shadow of death. That's what it means. When you're a believer, when Jesus is your shepherd, the creator of the universe, God Almighty, he is with you. Now, doesn't that verse make more sense? There's more power to that verse. If God is for us, who could be against us? Even this verse, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I who created the universe. I the Holy One. I the Almighty. I am with you." So where is God sending you today? If he's sending you through the dark valleys, know that God is with you. If he's asking for you to do the impossible, know that God is with you. You're not doing this alone. We're not here alone, amen? Even our church. Why are we here in Beacon? I don't know, but here's what I do know. We're not doing it alone. God is with us. God is with you. Of course, I can't say, D.L. Moody said this, "The valley of the shadow of death holds no darkness for the child of God." If you're a believer, you're a child of God. "There must be light, else there could be no shadow. Jesus is the light. He has overcome death." Yeah. So don't be afraid of the dark. Then the pronouns change. So he goes from he, third person, to you. "You prepare a table before me." Do you see the scene is changing and also the pronouns changing? So he's no longer talking about being a sheep and a shepherd, but preparing a table before me is more of a banquet scene, hospitality, a host. So knowing that God is with you when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that the Lord is your shepherd, he guides you, he leads you, he protects you, he comforts you, he satisfies you. What's next? "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." He wants you to enjoy not only his presence. And this is not even a victory celebration yet. It's in the presence of your enemies. He has prepared a table for you. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." This is all desert terms. So when you visit anybody and you're a guest and you're an honored guest, what do? The first thing they do is they anoint your head with oil. And what does that mean? That doesn't mean they just grab oil and they dump it on your head. You know, that's actually a horrible experience. Can you imagine, like, you have oil in your hair? How long will that take? You can be like a greaser, I guess, right? You know, that's not what it is. But oil is, it relaxes you, it's precious, it's scented. So imagine like getting a neck rub with oil, right? That's kind of the idea of this anointing my head with oil is you are a special guest. You're the guest of honor. Come on in. Let me rub your neck with oil. Let me relax you. And here, have a glass of wine. Actually, your cup will overflow. So you would only experience this if you are a special guest. And that's the scene here. He prepares a table in the presence of the enemies. In the midst of your perceived danger, God is saying, come into my house, spend time with me, be my special guest, relax, let me rub your neck with special oil, have a glass of wine, and the cup overflows. It just keeps on coming. And then he says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this is how the psalm ends. So it begins with the Lord, and it ends with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it's about the Lord. It's about God. It's not about you. And it says here, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. His goodness, his love, his mercy, his hesed love. That word follow, it's better translated as pursue. So it's not just following, it's pursuing you. God's love, God's goodness is pursuing you. He pursues us. God pursues us, you and me, in Jesus Christ, with his covenant love. That's something we need to remember. Right. Who's doing the pursuing? It's not me. It's God who's pursuing you. God's chasing after you. Reminds me of a Tim Keller quote where he always says, you know, every other religion says that we need to seek God, we need to pursue God. But the gospel says, God sought you. God is the one pursuing you. That's the difference between religion and the gospel. Reminds me of Jesus leaving the 99 for the one. He is that presence that chased you down. He is that presence that is chasing you down. So earlier I said the cause of fear is isolation and vulnerability, but the cure for fear is what? His presence. His protection and his guidance. As I was preparing for this sermon, somehow, maybe because in my top 10 searches, North Korea was mentioned, in my feed, a testimony of someone who escaped from North Korea popped up. And of course, being Korean and having family ties in North Korea before the war, I started reading into this article with great interest. And I wanted to share that with you because there's a powerful message that kind of ties into why would God allow someone to walk through the darkest valley? And that comes out of this testimony. So let me read this testimony to you. It's from a gentleman named Timothy Cho. And the background is when he was 9, he was born in North Korea. His parents were history teachers. And because they were history teachers, they were kind of marked. And to escape the life in North Korea, his parents abandoned him and escaped when this man was 9 years old. So imagine you wake up and your parents aren't there anymore and says, you get a note, your parents leave a note saying, we've escaped, have a good life, right? And when that happens in North Korea, then you are a marked man. You are a son of a betrayer. And so he can no longer go to school at age 9. Basically, he has no parents. So what does a 9-year-old do? So let me read his testimony. He says his parents escaped when he was 9 years old. I befriended other homeless kids, and they became my brothers and sisters. We slept at the railway station, on train containers, and on the streets. One time, I took a 4-hour train ride to my uncle's house, and I saw steamy cornbread and soup on the dining table. I felt so relieved knowing I could eat something, but they didn't offer me any food, even though I was family. That's how bad food shortages were in North Korea in the 90s. You didn't share even with your closest relatives. I left his house in tears. When I was 17, my survival instincts told me I needed to escape to China. Running away from my beloved homeland, friends, and memories left me feeling sad and in tears. But crossing the border was a moment of awakening. There were lights everywhere, an abundance of food, and many different kinds of clothes for young people to wear, things I had never seen in North Korea. A Christian missionary approached me and offered me a place to stay. But when I entered his house, the first thing I saw were a Bible and a cross. That terrified me. I thought he was going to kidnap me and sell me into slavery, because that's what we were taught about Christians growing up. So I ran away, not realizing that the man was truly trying to help me. I joined a group of North Koreans traveling north to Mongolia. Just when we thought we made it and we were safe, the Chinese authorities arrested us and sent us back to North Korea. I was thrown into a prison, a small prison cell of 50 people. We didn't have enough space to lie down, so we slept sitting upright, leaning on each other's backs. The next morning when I woke up, I realized that the man I was leaning against was dead. He died from torture, a lack of medical care, and starvation. We were given 2 scoops of noodle soup each day. His body was dragged out of the cell like a dead animal. I still have nightmares where I hear my fellow inmates screaming. But miraculously, I was released from jail, and I knew then that I had to go back to China. This time I went with a group. Once we made it to Shanghai, we climbed over a wall of an American school and asked the principal to help us, but he didn't. They arrested the 9 people in my group and sent us to a Shanghai international prison. I knew if they sent me back to North Korea, I'd die in prison or be executed in public. I decided I'd rather die by my own hand, so I swallowed as many sleeping pills as I could. But instead of killing me, those sleeping pills gave me a very good night's sleep. I shared a prison cell with 7 international inmates, and one of them was a South Korean gangster. He was a strange guy, and after I told him about my situation, he suggested that I read the Bible and pray to God. I never prayed before, so I asked him what to do, and he said, "Just say amen at the end of your wishes." I didn't even know who God was or even if he existed, but where else could I turn in that coldest, darkest, terrifying prison cell? After 2 months of praying every day, 2 men visited me in prison. They told me that one of the students in Shanghai had taken a photo during the arrest and shared it with journalists. The BBC, Washington Post, and dozens of news organizations reported on it, and now China faced international pressure not to send us back to North Korea. When we left, one of the prisoners said, "We're seeing a miracle happen in front of our eyes." And in a different account, he says, the gangster told him, "When I told you to pray, I was not expecting this to happen." So, here's a man who was lied to about Christians, who was lied to about God. And when I read his story, him being caught in prison, him being in prison with 7 others, that's the valley of the darkest shadow that you and I probably will never experience, you know? And it is there where he was introduced to the Bible. It was there by someone who was not even equipped. He was a gangster. He was introduced to the Bible and prayer, and he met God. And he is a believer now today, and he is an activist today. So when you look at his story, why would God allow him to be captured and tortured, be in prison, to meet God? And I know that story is not your story, it's not my story, but we do have our own moments when we are in the valley of the shadow of death. And my encouragement to you is that know that God is with you. You are going through the valley of the shadow of death, not into it. And his presence will never leave you. Let me just close with, there it is. Romans 8:38-39. Powerful verses, promises of God. Most of us know this. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The love of God that is pursuing you right now. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. And we get to experience this love through Jesus Christ and what he had to do for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we come to the table this morning, proclaiming his saving death on the cross. He prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. What a fitting psalm to end with as we enter into communion. So let us come to the table. The table is open to all believers, all who say that the Lord is my shepherd. All who are satisfied with that statement. Let me pray for the elements. I'm going to ask the men to pass the elements. Let's wait till everyone has received it, and we'll partake together. And then afterwards, the men will distribute the juice in place of wine, and we'll partake that together as well. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for sending us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you that you are the great shepherd. You are the good shepherd. You laid your life down and you walked through the valley, into the valley alone, so that we do not have to. So we thank you for that. As you have taught us through Scripture, Lord, we come to the table this morning as your sons and daughters to proclaim your saving death, O God, to remember your saving death, O God. So this morning I ask that you set apart the bread and the cup for a holy purpose. May the bread to be to our faith your body broken. May the cup be to our faith your blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. And help us to do this in remembrance of you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.